Hello, brilliant entrepreneur. It's Tash Corbin here, and welcome to another episode of the Heart Centered Business Podcast. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I have a quick favor to ask you. And that is, you may or may not have noticed over the last year, and actually in any of the episodes of this podcast, I don't ever ask people to rate, review, and subscribe. Now, I did set myself an intention to do that at the start of this year, was to add that in to every episode and remind people to rate, review, and subscribe. But I found myself with a bit of resistance to it this year. Part of that is because I don't love asking people for things in return. Hashtag working on it. But the other reason is that for myself, whenever I hear on a podcast that I love listening to over and over again, don't forget to rate and review and subscribe. It makes me feel really guilty because I always forget and I think, oh, I'll definitely do that next time. But then I hear it again and I still haven't done it. And so I didn't want to cause that kind of feeling for anyone else. And I also just find it really challenging to say, hey, can you please just chuck me a like? So I've got a solution. Number one, I'm not going to ask again. This is just like, I'm just going to ask this one time. I might ask again, maybe like 6 months in a year's time. I'm not going to ask every time because I don't want to create that sense of, I don't want to ask. So that means number two, I'm going to ask you today and shortly I'm going to ask you to pause the podcast and go off and do this. This is episode number 374. So I'll have a bunch of links over with the show notes of the episode of where you can do it. But if you could pause the video and then just go either to tashcorbin.com/374 and I'll have a bunch of links where you can go and rate and review and subscribe. Or even just where you're listening, scroll down to the bottom, scroll up to the top. Sometimes it's a bit tricky to find where to rate and review. But if you could just do it for me this one time, that means I don't have to ask again. And also, now is a really good time for me to get a bunch of reviews because over the holidays, I'm actually going to be releasing some bonus content as well. So I feel like this is like a win-win-win. It's a win because you won't hear me ask you over and over again. It's a win because I don't have to ask you over and over again. It's a win because I'll get some reviews, which will be super amazing. Thank you so much. But also it's a win for you because it's an incentive for Tash to get that bonus holiday content out because I've had an influx of new subscribers. Because if you're unaware, that actually getting ratings and reviews is one of the most effective ways for me to find new people to follow the podcast. So if you are happy to help me out, I'm going to say pause this video here and then I'll see you back when you've got it done and we can get on with episode number 374. Does that sound okay? So tashcorbin.com/374 or wherever you're listening along, pause the video now and then I'll meet you back here in a second. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. That's really amazing. I really do appreciate it. And I really just, I don't want to ask over and over again. So that's really helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is episode number 374 of the Heart Center Business Podcast, which means you can find all the relevant links and show notes for today over at tashcorbin.com/374. And today's episode, I'm going to help you decide whether you should be running webinars or challenges, which is better, which is going to suit you more effectively. So if that's something that you've been worrying about or you've been thinking about, especially as we step into the new year, this is going to be a really helpful episode. I also just quickly want to say that it's no surprise to me that this is a question that I get asked quite regularly because people who teach challenges are very quick to present all the evidence of why challenges are better. And people who teach webinars do the opposite, right? They want to convince you that challenges don't work. You should do webinars. But the good news for you is that I actually teach both. So I don't have a vested interest in which you choose. So hopefully you find that very reassuring. We can dive in and talk about the pros and cons of each and you can make an informed decision. How's that sound? Let's dive in. tashcorbin.com/374 for the show notes and links because you're going to want to find them. Let's dive into this episode. I'm Tash Corbin and this is the Heart Centered Business Podcast. Okay, so as I said, it's a very common question that I get asked. Should I do a webinar? Should I do a challenge? Are webinars dead? Are challenges dead? How do we make them work? Ah, I don't have a vested interest. And in fact, I think both of them have their place in business strategy. So I wanted to make sure that we talk about what are the benefits of each and also what are some of the challenges and difficulties you might face with each? How can you overcome those? So before we do all of that, let's start by defining what is a webinar and what is a challenge. So the term webinar comes from web-based seminar. So it's anything where you're teaching online, and in most cases, it's in return for an email address or in return for an email address and an amount of money. So webinars can be free or paid. I am not going to discern between webinar, workshop, masterclass. They're all the same, right? Where you are presenting, usually it's for about 30 minutes or more, where you're presenting on a topic, you're helping people to achieve something in a group environment online, and they have to, before it starts, they have to register with their name and email address, or they register by paying and giving you their email address. So that is a webinar. And then usually you also have like a recording of it that you send out to everyone, that kind of thing. And then a challenge is where you do something over a period of time. So a challenge might be you do a 3-day challenge or a 5-day challenge or a 7-day challenge or a 21-day challenge. There's all sorts, right? But a challenge usually has bite-sized pieces of instruction over an extended period of time. Again, can be free or can be paid. Generally, it's in return for the email address. And you're usually presenting on something where people are achieving an outcome or they're going for a goal over an extended period of time. So it might be a 3-day green juices challenge or a 5-day client attraction challenge. That's one that I run. So a challenge is generally free, but they can also be paid for. And they're usually for, you know, doing something daily in most cases. So as I said, each has benefits and difficulties. So I want to make sure that we go through them all, but just want to make sure that we're on the same page about what they are. Webinars, challenges. Okay, so how do you decide then which is the most valuable? In a lot of instances, the case for why you should do a challenge over a webinar is that you get better sign-up rates because it feels like it's more valuable because it goes for a longer period of time, which I find is generally true. I do get more people sign up for my challenges than I get signed up for my webinars. However, webinars generally have a higher completion rate. So the completion rate is the percentage of people who, after signing up for something, actually do it. So when I run a challenge, I generally see about 20 to 30% of people will finish that challenge, whether that be they're participating live throughout the 5 days together or they watch on the recap page. So I usually get about 20 to 30% of people who sign up for a challenge actually finish a challenge. Whereas when I run a webinar, I generally have 60% of people watch that webinar, whether it be live or on the replay. And so you can see there's a big difference in the completion rate. Now, there are lots of factors that go into completion rates. So the extent to which your niche are excited and hungry for the outcome will often increase or decrease your completion rate. How narrow the niche is will also have an impact on sign-up rates as well as completion rates as well. So I'm not saying that those numbers are hard and fast across all industries and niches, nor across all topics, but in general, I see higher sign-up rates for challenges but lower completion rates, and I see lower sign-up rates for webinars but much higher completion rates. So that is one of the big differences between challenges and webinars, but we actually have a number of other factors that go into deciding which is going to be the right fit for you. So another factor that goes in is what is the niche that you are focusing on when you're creating this free live event. If you are focused on a niche that is very short on time, you'll often find more hesitancy in signing up for a challenge. They'll be more likely to sign up for a webinar. So for example, if you're in the parenting space, if your ideal client or your niche have a job, if they are particularly strapped for time, you'll often find that webinars are actually a better fit for that specific niche. Now, for me, I find that I get better sign-up rates for my challenges, especially when I'm focused on people who are in business already. So not people who are wanting to start a business, but they've already started, they already have some clients on board, so they've got capacity in their week to participate in something like a challenge. With my challenges, I also find I get much better sign-up rates and much better conversion rates when I give people lots of notice about a challenge. Whereas with a webinar, I can put a webinar together, promote it for 10 days, and still get hundreds and hundreds of people sign up, and far more people are likely to turn up live with that late notice when I'm running a webinar as well. So niche does play a big part in what is going to be the best fit, and also then what your sign up and completion rates are like. The second thing to take into consideration other than niche is your topic. So some topics you can teach in a one-off session. Some topics that just don't fit in that way. They need to be spaced out with a little bit of action taking in between. So if your topic best fits a challenge versus a webinar, that could also be a deciding factor in which one you select. And the third thing is budget. Now this is a big one because my completion rates for my challenges often are around, as I said, around 20 to 30%, but that's generally with me investing some ad spend in getting people to finish the challenge. So when I spend money on promoting a challenge or a webinar, I also need to set aside some money to ensure that I'm improving or maximizing my completion rate. So generally, if I'm running a webinar, I just put all of my money into getting people signed up to the webinar. Through the follow-up email sequence and some organic content, I can ensure that I'm getting, you know, a really good number of people watching the replay. I haven't seen a significant increase in my completion rate for webinars from putting ads into reminding people to watch the replay. That is not the case for challenges though. So when I run a challenge, I also invest money in reminding people about the challenge once it's started. So reminding people to actually engage in what they've purchased or what they've signed up to. So on day three of the client attraction challenge, for example, I run an ad that is targeting all those people who registered for the challenge to remind them we're up to day three, they can still catch up. Here's what we're doing today, and here's why it's so important for you to do this in your business. Now, those ads have a significant impact on completion rate for me. So if you don't have a budget for ad spend or your ads budget is quite limited, then what I would generally recommend is focus on webinar over challenge, because in order to be able to retarget my challenge participants, I need a good 300 to 400 people signed up. And if you're not getting those kinds of sign up rates for your challenge, then you're going to need to invest money into getting people signed up, but then still have that money set aside to get people to complete the challenge. So in a lot of cases, the big deciding factor between webinar and challenge is simply ads budget or the number of people you've been able to get to sign up to previous free events organically. If you're not getting good sign-up numbers, like over 200 people signing up for your webinars and challenges organically, then I would lean more towards webinars than challenges because of the ad spend issue and not having the numbers that you need in order to be able to retarget those people to finish their challenge. Now, you also do want to have a think about what the skill set is that your audience have. So coming along to a challenge and remembering to watch the video and then come to the call that's on your page or whatever might go around it, sometimes that can be more challenging for people who don't have that skill set around technology. Most people these days know how to sign in and watch a Zoom webinar. So that's generally also a factor when it comes to your niche and your audience. Now, the last thing I just quickly want to say about this is that regardless of whether you choose to focus on a webinar or a challenge, remember the job of that webinar or challenge is to move people closer to buying something from you. And in most cases, I recommend that you have one specific something that you're upselling them into. And so if you're not clear on what the upsell is, then we actually aren't even ready to make a decision about whether it's a webinar or a challenge, because we need to know, well, in order to get the sale of the thing, what is the light bulb that we need to facilitate? If that's the light bulb we need to facilitate, well, then what are the people who are most likely to benefit from that light bulb actually misdiagnosing as? And then what is the best medium through which that you actually move people through learning that how to address what they think the problem is, then having that light bulb, and then presenting the offer to them. So for most people, they're thinking about what is the topic that they want to present on first and foremost, and then they try and almost like jam into that. Okay, well, if I'm presenting on this topic, then the people who are interested in this topic might be interested in this offer, so I'll add this offer at the end. But that's not actually the strategic way to structure and create a webinar or a challenge. So I would highly recommend that we start at the inside out. What are you selling first and foremost? Okay, well, what light bulb do you need to facilitate in order for those people to be ready to buy that thing? And then what are they misdiagnosing it as? What do they think is the problem? What do they think is the solution? And how can you then create an educational experience live for those people in order to help move them closer to being ready to purchase and hopefully getting some of those purchases in as well? So that is generally my recommendation. I will have further podcast episodes coming out about how to structure webinars and how to structure 5-day challenges. I do have some in the back archives as well. I'll link them in the show notes, tashacorbin.com/374. And then the final thing that I want to say on this is, regardless of whether you choose webinar or challenge, I'd rather you do something. Just do something. So whether you want to grow your list, whether you want to get those conversions or get those sales coming in, whether you're just looking to practice, all three of those things are accomplished by just picking a date, setting it up, and getting it done. Remember, your audience will never be as small as it is today. So today is the perfect day for you to set it up and get practicing so that you can actually build something that's effective, that you can learn from what works and what doesn't for your audience, and also just get over that hump of the wobbliness and I'm not sure whether I can do this or not, because for most people, the fear of doing a webinar is far worse than the reality of running a webinar. The fear of running a challenge is far worse than the reality of running a challenge. So regardless of what you choose out of webinars or challenges, I just want you to choose something. Okay, have we got a deal there? I just want you to choose something, get it set up, start promoting it. Now, to go with today's episode of the Heart Center Business Podcast, I'd love to share with you a free resource that I think will be very effective in supporting you to grow your audience ready for that webinar or challenge. So as I said in this episode, one of the biggest factors to help you decide is how many people can you actually get organically signed up to this thing? And if you're concerned that maybe you don't have the numbers for that, the number one thing that we want to be doing is getting your list growth nailed. So I've got a free resource. It's called Grow Your Audience. And it's how to ensure that you're growing your list consistently, not just through running webinars or challenges, but through some stacked strategic levels. So most people skip stage one and usually skip stage two, but they're the two most effective ways to grow your audience with people who are hungry for what it is that you have to offer. So make sure you go and check out that free training at tashacorbin.com/374 so you can grow your audience. Then you can decide whether a webinar or a challenge is the right way for you to be doing that at scale. And you can set it up with success and grow your audience and make some sales. Get that upsell working. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Heart Center Business Podcast. Until next time, I cannot wait to see you shine. Bye for now. Would you like more tips, tools, and resources to help you grow your heart-centered business? Head to tashacorbin.com today.